Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
8:03 on a marine layered thick Wednesday morning. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you here as we do each and every Wednesday. We have the honor of speaking with the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. In for the Wealthwise moment this morning is Laureen Gilbert. Good morning, Laureen. How are you today?
Good morning, Ed. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. So I half expected you to say, Ed, I'm standing right now in a storm in Fort Myers, Florida right now, because it appears you're always in the center of things that are happening. So I imagined I would hear that this morning.
But I am grateful I'm not there and thinking and praying for those people in the storm.
Yeah, so we have here on the program, we have a ton of listeners on the morning show from Florida. So I've been getting check-ins on our Text Connect, and it's a lot of them staying hunkered down, staying safe. So yes, we are collectively wishing them all the best and for them to stay safe as well. I'm catching you in the middle of probably one of your busiest mornings ever. I want to ask you about that in a second, but I want to start off with the Dow, and though it's doing okay this morning, it seems to be up a little bit. The market's up a little bit. Dow and S&P are at their lowest levels since 2020. Make sense of that for us.
Well, you know, we are once again, Ed, in bear market territory. And so just giving a picture of what's happened in the markets this year is we started out the year knowing that we had had an incredible 2021, and then everything started to decline. And the decline happened as a result of the Federal Reserve having to raise rates in order to slow down demand and to bring down inflation. That was the goal. And as that happened, you know that the equity markets and the fixed income markets started to reprice. Then in the summer, we started to get some reprieve, and with valuations coming into, good territories after the decline, things looked very attractive. We started to see a lot of buying again, more buying than selling, which caused a rally. And things were actually looking very promising until Jackson Hole. And then at Jackson Hole, when the Federal Reserve came out, they had a marked change in their sentiment and what they said. And ever since then, each statement that they've made subsequently has reiterated their resolve to bring down inflation. And their statements have indicated that they are going to continue to raise rates until they are confident that not only inflation is coming down, but we get back down to 2%. And if we believe what the Federal Reserve is saying, then it makes sense what the markets are doing. Because for the Federal Reserve to do what they're saying really takes out the possibility of a soft landing. And if you'll notice, Ed, they don't even talk about a soft landing anymore.
Right.
That is not even part of their narrative. Instead of saying anything about a soft landing, it's really, we know that they're going to be okay with us going into recession if it means that we get inflation under control. Now, where does that really leave us? That's the question. So I don't know if you want to ask me another question or you want me to continue.
Oh my God, no. You're on a roll. You're like a comedian. I don't want to pull off the stage right now. You're on a roll. You've got the audience. I'm not kidding. So yeah, continue.
Well, the big question then is, do you believe what the Fed is saying or not? Because if we believe what they're saying is true, that they're not just trying to scare us in the markets, but they're actually serious about what they say, then we need to take them seriously and know that they're going to continue to raise rates. And at the same time, Ed, the other big part is this is the first full month that the Federal Reserve is reducing their balance sheet by $95 billion a month. Oh. Now, that's more than we've ever seen the Federal Reserve allow to roll off. And what does that mean? That means mortgage rates are going to be impacted. So you've got a double whammy on interest rates. You've got interest rates that are going up, and you have the balance sheet reduction going on.
I want to interject with a question here. So the Fed shocked the market, and quite literally shocked the market intentionally, though, right?
Yes, intentionally.
Okay. All right. Okay. And you mentioned mortgage rates. I want to talk about new home sales for a second. The numbers I'm reading seem to have bounced back in August. This is new home sales, but home prices are still showing a cooling effect. So is that August bump that we saw, is that the last bump that you think we'll see for several months?
Well, we don't know, but here's what I'll say. Those were gross new home sales numbers, and they were up quite a bit more than expected. The expected number was 500,000, and it was 685,000. So a marked improvement over the expectation, which is huge. But what you're not getting in that is that the number of home cancellations is also the highest that people have seen. And so, to your point, you know, most probably, you know, perhaps, you know, that is the case. But what we're seeing in housing, if you're asking me what we're seeing in housing is people are still buying, but they're being much more cautious in their buying.
Right.
And affordability has gone down substantially because interest rates have gone up. So it's not going to be like 08. It's not going to be the housing market of 08. We're in a much different situation. Why? Household balance sheets are in much better shape, and the financial system are in much better shape. So we don't have the same concerns there. But what we will see is a flattening out eventually of home prices. You know, we've still been seeing those year-over-year numbers continue to go up.
Right.
But we're going to see kind of a flattening out on there. We're going to see that it takes longer, so houses will sit on the market longer. And what the home builders are doing is they're trying to get their inventory through the sales funnel, right? They've got all these homes that they want to sell. But the problem is, like I said, you're seeing a lot of home cancellations. So in other words, somebody entering into escrow and they fall out. They put down payment on new home construction, and then they change their mind. And the reason is there's, you know, the consumer is being cautious. Now, having said that, the other number that we saw this week was the Conference Board consumer confidence number.
Right, that number went up.
The number went up, and the expectation was 105, and it was 108. By the way, last month it was 103.6. So. And why? The biggest contributor to consumer confidence has to do with gas prices coming down, and we know they came down substantially. Jobs are good, and wages are up. And those were the components that brought consumer confidence higher.
So, you know, you just asked and answered my question number three. I love this. Thank you so much for that. So I would like you for our audience to explain the trust tax plan and maybe tell us what you say to experts who say that tax plan cushions the wealthy while pushing borrowers toward a financial cliff. Does it push borrowers toward that financial cliff?
Well, I'm not sure which plan this is. Can you tell me what is it called again?
It's called the trust, T-R-U-S-S tax plan.
Oh, and, trust tax.
Yes.
It hasn't passed yet. It's in legislation.
Right. Correct. Yes.
Okay. I have. You know what? Let's talk about that next week because I've not looked at that tax plan, but I'm happy to look at it, and then we can discuss it next week.
I would love to do that. And you know what? I don't want to give you more homework or anything because you are busy enough. So tell our audience your morning, what it looked like today. How crazy has it been?
That's why you and I didn't have a chance to speak this morning. I've actually been in meetings for 4 hours. I thought it was three, but then I looked at the clock again. I've already been in meetings for 4 hours,
wow,
nonstop, back to back. I led a 2-hour meeting, and then I had another meeting. So, you know, it's been busy.
Wow. Okay. And obviously you don't want to let us in on any of these meetings you're having. It's like, all right, well, I'm just keeping these meetings to myself here, 4 hours worth of meetings.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's just, you know, but that is I'm used to it, right? That's the way we roll. We just kind of go, today's going to be one of those days. I don't end until late this evening. So, yeah, it's, but that's okay. And the bottom line is I'm here for our clients, right? I'm here, and let me just tell you, so we've gotten a lot of phone calls. So what's happening right now for investors is they're weary. They're weary because it's, a cut, you know, what do you call it? Death by a thousand cuts.
Right.
It's that this market this year has been that slow deterioration of the market. And then what happens is clients get statements every month and they don't know. They're like, what is going on? Why? You know, and for many clients, their thought is, does this mean it's going to continue forever? And that means every month it's going to continue to go down. And that's not the way the markets work, right, Ed. The way the markets work is that we're in a season. We're in a season of a pullback. That's not forever. And what happens in the markets is the markets oversell. They get to a point of what we call capitulation. And then following capitulation, we have a rally. We saw that in the summer, and it was temporary. Right. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to get back there. And in fact, Ed, we will get to new highs. The big question is when. And the biggest issue for investors is patience. It is hard to be patient at a time when you feel like, wait, what's happening to the money? What's happening to the portfolio? But if you really look at the companies, like if I share with clients, these are the companies you own. Those companies aren't going out of business. They're profitable companies. This is just a season of the market pulling back. And then eventually the market's going to go forward again. Let me just tell you, Ed, that where we see some opportunity.
Please.
I mean, small cap growth has a forward PE right now of 10.8. In 2008, it was at 9.5. So we are getting very close to those 2008 forward PE. So as long as earnings hold, and that's, of course, the big question,
right,
and we can talk about earnings season, as long as earnings hold and multiples hold, then those are very attractive valuations at that point. So we can look at different areas of the market and see some fantastic opportunities.
And you are a prime example of keeping your head while those around you are going crazy. And that's the importance of having the best in the business. That's the importance of having someone who can give you sound financial advice.
Not only that, I would say also the experience of time. I mean, you know, I don't like to date myself, but I have been in this industry for over three decades. And there's nothing that can replace that kind of experience. Having been through over three decades of the highs and the lows and seeing different economic cycles and going through various bear markets and various recessions helps me have the perspective to help my clients.
Excellent. And do you find pushback sometimes when you advocate patience to your clients, are they pretty easy to grab it, or do you get some pushback sometimes?
I do get pushback, and I'll tell you one of the most common statements that I hear. I can't afford this. Right. I can't afford this decline. And that's actually an untrue statement. It's not true. It's how people feel.
Right.
But it's not actually accurate. Because the truth is, like the most recent, I just had a client tell me this last week. The truth is, she's still working. She's not retired. Even if she was retired. And so that's the other thing is, you know, from people who are retired, I always tell them, you need to be prepared for 3 to 5 periods of time that are recessionary in retirement. That is just reality. That's maybe three recessions and maybe five bear markets. You know, that's just part of investing. So to say I can't afford it isn't actually true, because to be in the market, you wouldn't be in the markets if you couldn't afford it.
Right.
And the other thing is that the reason people need equity exposure is that equities are the thing that over time is going to outperform inflation. And it doesn't feel that way today. What's hard is that this year we have inflation that's high and the stock market that's gone down. But the reality is, over time, even with this decline, your equity exposure is what's going to help you outperform inflation. Fixed income is not. Fixed income either keeps up with inflation or is a little below inflation, but it's your equity exposure that will help you outperform inflation.
Beautifully explained. I should remind our audience that she has 30 plus years of experience, but she started when she was 7 years old. So keep that in mind.
There you go. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Lorene, how do our listeners find you?
So it's wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
I realize how busy you are this morning, so I appreciate it even more that you took time to be with us today, Lorene. Thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.
You as well. 8:19 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show. Money, 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 money. Money.